Today's shir is for Zchus v'Shalom and Bracha. Today's shir is Masechta Ksubis Daf Tzadik Dalad, and we will begin on Daf Tzadik Gimel Amid Beis, all the way at the bottom of the Amid B'mai Kamifki. We had learned in the Mishnah a case where there was an individual who was married to four women, and each one of them was owed a ksuba. And the first case of the Mishnah was where they were not written on the same day. Since they weren't written on the same date, the order of collection goes according to the dates of the ksuba. And whoever's ksuba is first is the individual who's entitled to collect first. And so on, we go further with the second and the third and the fourth. The Mishnah quoted a machlokes between the Tanakhama and Rabbananus. Rabbananus' opinion was that in such a situation, the ksuba is collected, the first one in order to collect the ksuba. The halacha is that since there's a shibud, since there's an obligation to on the property from each woman has a shibud on the property to enable for her to collect the ksuba. And the halacha is abba, lipara, somebody comes to collect from the chosum shibadim, like tifra el b'shvua, may not make such a collection unless there's a shvua. So that's why when the first woman comes to collect, she needs to make a shvu to the second woman to the third woman to the fourth woman. But the fourth woman, when she's collecting, there's no one left with an outstanding lien. Since there's no one left with an outstanding lien, Tanakhama held she could collect her ksuba even without a shvu. And Bananas disagreed, and Bananas said that even the fourth woman, may not collect her ksuba unless she makes a kshvua. And ask the Gemara, B'mai Kamifki, what is the basis of the machloikus of the Tanakam and Bananas? Says the Gemara, Om Shmuel. Shmuel helps us understand this machloikus. Kigayin, Shenimtsus Achsmehen, if one of these three women ended up collecting a property from the husband's estate, Sada She'ena Shaloi, a field that didn't belong to him, and therefore to the husband, since that field did not belong to the husband, so now this person is going to take this property from the woman who collected it for her ksuba. And the machlokes about the Tanakhama, the machlokes between Tanakhama and Bananas is, if the last woman, the fourth woman of our Mishnah, needs to swear, is regarding a case, b'balchoy me'ucher, in a case where a malva lent money to a number of people, and a person who's a balchayiv has a later date, collected before somebody who has an earlier date, shekadam v'gava, that he collected before somebody who's online before him. Kamifgi, their machlekes is, if somebody did so, can that property be taken away from him or not? Tanakama sava, the Tanakhama holds Masha Gova Loi Gova. If somebody who's later online collected something that they shouldn't have, because as we just explained in our Mishnah, who is ever earlier online comes first. So somebody later online took something, the halacha is it's not acceptable. Since it's not acceptable, if it turns out that, let's say, one of the first three women who obviously are online before the fourth woman end up losing their property, they're going to go to the fourth woman, who even when she collected the property was entitled to collect that property. But now, since they lost their property, that because somebody came and made a claim on that property, since they lost that property, so she will lose her property because she has to give it back to the people who are online before her. And therefore, she still doesn't have to swear, because she's never going to end up getting anything unless the people before her are completely satisfied. Bananas is of the opinion, when she collected that property, even though when she collected it, she collected it completely innocently, she waited online properly, and she got the fourth piece of property. She didn't know that somebody before her was going to lose the property that they collected. So she ends up collecting a property earlier. And we're learning that according to Ben Azai, Masha Gava Gava. That means by her collecting, she's depriving someone before her. And as we said in our introductory remarks to our shir, that if somebody is collecting, and by them collecting, they're potentially depriving someone else, the halacha is they have to swear. Since this woman, as we just explained, is potentially depriving somebody from before her, since she's potentially depriving somebody before her, that's why she has to swear before she could keep what she collected. That is the opinion of Ben Anas. Rav Nachman Amar, Rabbi Ravua, no. The Kula Alma, everyone agrees, Masha Gava Lo Gava, that the order is significant. And therefore, if somebody who's later online, cannot get property before somebody who's earlier on the line. Rav Nachman Amar Rav Avuah, the Kula Alma, Masha Gava Lo Gava. Somebody who's later online cannot collect. What we're concerned here is Hocha B'Chashin Hashem Atachso Kamifki. Maybe this fourth woman who collected this property is concerned that she may not hold onto this property, because the reason she assumes that we're not making her swear is because she's concerned that maybe one of the women who are before her, and we're learning now that anybody who comes earlier in a date, anyone who comes earlier on the line, keeps what they're entitled to. So she's always worried that she may lose this property. And because she's always worried that she may lose this property, they make her swear. And once they make her swear, that gives her the confidence, this is the way Rashi explains, that she's not going to lose the property. That means, because the fact that she is swearing that she's truly entitled to the property, Rashi says, gives her the confidence that she's not going to lose the property, and she'll treat the property properly. Why are we so anxious for this? Because she really may lose the property. Maybe one of the three women before her may end up taking that property. And she then will, because of that concern, not work on the property properly, and the property will be devaluated because it wasn't cared for. To avoid this, says Bananas, we make her swear, and that, as we just explained, gives her the confidence that she's not losing the property. Omar, the Tanakhama holds, we're not concerned about. There's obviously difficulty with this pshat, because the truth is, her swearing doesn't protect her. Because even if she swears, as we just explained, if one of the preceding women online come, she'll lose the property. So why does this make her... So that's why Tosfos doesn't accept Rashi's pshat about confidence. And that's why Tosfos explains that the reason Ben Anas makes her swear is that, why does any woman have to swear? What's one of the reasons every woman have to swear? Because we have to be concerned that maybe she really got paid for a ksuba during her husband's lifetime. And that doesn't make a difference. What is the case? And because of that, she has to swear. Abaye says the reason why the fourth woman has to swear is Abakshisha Kibinayu. The machloikis between the Ben Anas and the Tanakama is not because of the other women. The Mishnah is not speaking about them. The Yisoimim are the ones that make us swear. What Abakshisha taught us is the machloikis. The Tani Abakshisha. Abaka teaches Yisoimish Aimru, Gedoilim. When the Mishnah says that when a woman comes to collect the ksuba, she from the Yisoimim, she swears, teaches Abba Kishisha, Gedoilim, that even if the Yisoimim are Gedoilim, they have to swear, Vein Tzarech Lehem Ketanim, certainly if the Yisoimim are Ketanim. Tanakama less like Abba Kishisha. Tanakama doesn't agree with Abba Kishisha. He says that the halacha, that Abba Lefar Menachsi Yisayim Enen Nefer Eli Dei Shvua was only said by Yisayim Ketanim, and our Mishnah is talking about Yisayim Gedolim, who are adults, and that's why the Tanakam and our Mishnah says there's no need to make a Shvua. But Bananas, and Bananas is of the opinion, Islay Dabi Abai Kshisha, he does hold of Abai Kshisha, that even if you're coming to collect from Yisayim Gedolim, there's a need to make a Shvua. So ask Tosfos, the halacha is that a bar parim nisa yisaimim ketanim, the Gemara Masechta Erchin says we don't make the yisaimim ketanim pay, and the yisaimim gedolim we're learning according to the Tanakam of our Mishnah that you don't have to swear. So as Tosfos, the Mishnah in our Masechta on that pay zainam and Aleph told us the rule that a bar parim nisa yisaimim lo nifra ela b'shvua. When was that said? If they're ketanim, the shvua doesn't make a difference. And if they're gedolim, then we, according to the Tanakama, don't need to make a shvua. So that's Tosfos' question. So the flaw answers that the reason by yisayim gedolim you don't have to make a shvua is because we could assume that they knew what was the father's situation when they were gedolim when the father died, and they know if the father did or didn't pay off the ksuba. But what's going to be, and if they were gedolim, the father would have told them how he settled their affairs. But let's say they were ketanim when the father died. But now, by the time this woman comes to collect the ksuba, they're already gedolim. So they don't have the exemption, explains that flaw, that ketanim don't have to pay, because now they're gedolim. But on the other hand, since they were ketanim when their father passed away, we also can't expect that they should know how the father settled their affairs, his affairs. And therefore, the halacha is he should make a shvua, even according to Tanakama. Amar Avuna Hanetrei Achi, if two brothers inherited estate from their father, Vetrei Shutfi, or of their two partners, this lay Dina Bechadichad, there's somebody called them to Dentaira. And one of the shutfim or one of the brothers went to the din Torah to represent the family, to represent the partnership. The brother who didn't go to the din Torah, the partner who didn't go to the din Torah, cannot claim atlab, and let's say they lose, can't go and say to the person that they lose to atlab bal devarim de diat. Well, I didn't go to the din Torah, so I'm not obligated to follow what the din Torah says. Ella, we say, Shluchusai Ovid. The person who attended the Din Torah represented the entire family. The person who attended the Din Torah represented the entire Shutfus. So Rashi, the way Rashi is learning, is that the family were the ones that were the ones that were called to the Din Torah. They were the defendants. The partners were the ones that were called to the Din Torah. But there are Rishonim that say it doesn't make a difference if the family are the Toivim or the Netvam. In both cases, the halacha that the Gemara just set forth is the halacha under both cases. Says the Gemara, Ikla Rav Nachman Surah. Rav Nachman once came to the city of Surah, Shailakai Gavna, and they asked him, this case where one partner went to the Din Torah, the other partner didn't tell him to go and represent him, does he automatically represent him? Mai, Amalu. So Rav Nachman said, "Masnisenhi." It's really our Mishnah, because our Mishnah says, "Harishayna nishbas l'shniya." The case of the four wives, we learned that the first wife swears to the second wife, shniya l'shlishis, the second wife to the third wife, l'shlishis l'revius. Vila rishayna l'shlishis loiktani. We didn't learn that the first wife has to swear separately to the third wife. My tama, mlav mishum shlichusay avid. That when she swore to the second wife, the second wife was not just representing herself, she was representing all of the women who have claims here. Wife number two, wife number three, and one wife from before. So we see that our Mishnah set forth the concept of Shlichusai Ka'avit. Says the Mami Dami, how can we compare the two situations? Hasam, the shvua that the first wife makes. What is the shvua that she makes? That she's truly entitled to the ksuba. That she didn't get any ksuba payment yet. So the exact same shvua that she would make to wife two, the exact same shvua as the wife that she makes to wife three and one, five, four, and wife four. That's why the Mishnah said that one shvua is adequate. Hasam shvua le'echod v'shvua le'meya. It's the same shvua that she's making to any wife. And that's why one shvua is enough. Hachop, but in our case, where only one partner showed up to the Din Torah, he could claim, had I been there, I could have made stronger claims to make us win the Din Torah. And the fact that you didn't include me to the Din Torah should be taken into consideration. Says the Gemara, when do we say this halacha of Laya Maron, that when is the halacha that you go back to the other partner and the one partner is not automatically a shliach for the other partner? Ela de la Isa b'masa. When the second partner wasn't in town, Aval Isa b'masa, if he was in town, and he could have come to the Din Torah, and he chose not to come to the Din Torah, then he can't have any complaint. Because he boy, Leila Mesa, he should have come. Says the Marjdam, and he says this is shot in the Torah, it's not just enough that he was in town. It has to be that he was in town and he was aware of the Din Torah. Since he was in town and aware of the Din Torah, so he can't claim, he has no right to make a claim. But if he was in town, just because he was in town, but he wasn't aware of the Din Torah, then he could say, I wasn't aware of the Din Torah. And the Mordechai, quoting the Rav Yah, it's only in a situation that where the partners, the case that the Gemara just said, are the ones that are making the claim, they're the Toivim. But if they're the Tfayim, we could say that the reason he didn't come to the Din Torah is because many times a Nitfa tries to get out of coming to the Din Torah, and he could say, even though I was in town, and even though I was aware of the Din Torah, that's why I didn't come. An interesting point. Furthermore, the Rishonim explain that this halacha is only, this last statement that we just learned is referring that where he could say, Ilu hano havoi, if I would have been there, have a tanina tfei. And that's when the Gemara is starting to qualify when you can make that claim, when you can't make that claim. The Smag says that even if he was appointed as a shliach, and he could still, says the Smag, a very bechidish, even if he was appointed as a shliach, one partner appointed the other partner as a shliach, he could still make a claim that if I would have been there, even though I made you a shliach, it's not enough. I saw that the Chishuk Echemed discusses a very interesting shaila. He says there was a very famous story. There was a Jew in Lodz that owned an apartment building, and he had a tenant who had not paid rent for a while, and he evicted the tenant. These were all Ger Chassidim, and they went to the Imre Emris, the Ger Rebbe, and the other Chassidim in town went to the Imre Emris and said, look at this landlord who evicted the tenant. The Imre Emris called the landlord and said, how did you do this to evict a poor Jew? So he says, why should I have to bear the entire burden of this individual who doesn't pay his rent? Everybody else should have collected money to help him pay his rent. I would have contributed also, this landlord said. But why should I carry the entire load? So the Emre Emet says, the Gemara, very famous Gemara, says, Misha chetzi eved v'chetzi ben chayrim. If you have an individual that's a half eved, knani, and a half ben chayrim, and he's in limbo, the Gemara says, Lisa shivchi efsher, he can't marry a shivcha because he's half ben chayrim. Lisa bas chayrim yefsher, he can't marry bas chayrim because she's a half eved. Says the Gemara, mibnei tikkun olam, in order that this person should be not left in limbo, kaifenes rabbi vaysonis ben chayrim. We forced the owner to free him. So Ger Rebbe asked, why should this owner have to carry that burden? There's an individual that has this problem. He's a chetzi eved chetzi ben chayrim. So everybody should try to help him get out of this problem. Why does the owner have to carry that entire load? So the Rambam answered that sometimes a mitzvah is given to you, and it's your opportunity to do the mitzvah, and you don't look for someone else to be your partner in the mitzvah. You're the landlord. You could afford to keep this tenant. Don't say, we'll let other people contribute. You could do the mitzvah. Do the mitzvah. You're the owner of the chetzi eved, chetzi ben chayrim. You do the freeing. Don't look for partners. So what's going to be the halacha? He asks, if we had such a situation where there were two partners that owned this apartment, that had this tenant, and they were, and the one landlord was told that you shouldn't evict him, it's your opportunity to do tzedakah. Is the Gemara that we just said, that it says, well, the one partner is going to be the shlich for the other partner under certain circumstances, said when it's a real din Torah. And when it's a din Torah, so only one partner, that's what we say the concept of shluchsai ovid, that one partner represents the entire partnership. But here, it's not a din Torah. Here it's a situation of tzedakah. In a situation of tzedakah, one partner can't obligate the other partner. And therefore, he seems to suggest that the concept that the Gemara said of shluchsai kovid, that doesn't apply here. Maybe I should do tzedakah. Maybe I have the ability to tzedakah, but that doesn't obligate my partner. Itmar, says the Gemara, shtei shtaris, if there are two documents on a field that it was sold, yoytzim b'yoyim echad, and they both have the same day, and we don't know, and they both have the same date, and going back to what we discussed in our previous year, we'll discuss in our share today as well, that they didn't put the hours into the shtar. So we don't know which shtar is first and which shtar is second. Rav Amar, Rav says in such a situation, Cholkim, we don't know who's the true owner of this field, and therefore we divide it. And Shmuel Amar Shuda the Dainim. Shmuel says the Dayanim make a decision who is the one that's more likely that was the one that they should really own the field. It's up to the judge, the Dayanim's discretion. There's a Machloikis Rashi and Tosfos how we understand Shuda the Dainim. Rashi explains that Shuda the Dainim is based on logic, that the Dayanim analyze the situation, and based on their analysis, they make a decision who should win the Din Torah. For example, Rashi says, if a property was given as a gift to one of two litigants, it should be given to the party who the Dayanim assume was the more likely individual that this person would give a gift to. Taisa says, Shuda the Dainim means that it's a special authorization that were given to the Dayanim. The Rambam and Shulchan Aruch, Paskin like Rashi, that the Dayanim should use their logic to make a decision who's the more likely recipient. Tosfos says that if we can't evaluate what was his thinking, says Tosfos, when we should look at the merit of the arguments of the two people who come to the Din Torah. And even if neither litigant could bring conclusive proof, they should give the property to the one who has a stronger case. The Ran himself the same, that if we have an Eid Echad that is testifying on behalf of one of the litigants, so he's the one that should win. Because even though halachically we don't rely on an Eid Echad, but if one of the litigants has an Eid Echad backing up his claim and the other one doesn't have a Eid Echad backing up a claim, so that's a reason that we should award it to the one that has an Eid Echad. Says the Shach, that in the case where there are no arguments or proof in favor of one over the other, Rashi would agree, says the Shach, that there we can't, according to Rashi, that we use logic, here we can't use logic, and because here we can't use logic, the halacha is we'll give it to the litigant that, here Rashi would say we divide it. There's a famous machloikis throughout Shas, primarily in Masech de Gittin, between Ramei and Rabbi Lezer. What makes the shtar relevant? What makes the shtar into a shtar? According to Ramei, Edech Simitarti, the Edom who sign on a shtar, they make the shtar into a valid shtar. Rebbe Elazar's opinion is Edom Asirikarti. The Edom who could testify that the shtar was given over, they're the ones that they saw the transaction take place. They're what makes the shtar into a valid shtar. Lema says the Gemara, Rav, the Omer, that when we have two shtaris with the same date, and Rav said a moment ago that we should divide, when we don't know what to do, Cholkin, we should divide it, is following the opinion of Ramei, Dom Edech Simakarti. And since the two date shtaris have the exact same date and have two kosher Edom signed to it, so they both have equal claims. Since they both have equal claims, we divide it equally. Shmuel, that says that we should do Shuda the Dainer, suggests the Gemara, holds like Rebbe Elazar, Dama Edom Misirikarti. And if one shtar was given before the other shtar, the transmission of the shtar is what makes the shtar relevant. And therefore, since one shtar was given before the other shtar, the Dayanim, according to Rashi's pshat, are the ones that should make that determination. Which is the more likely shtar that was transmitted first, and that's the one that will win the Din Torah. Says the Gemara Loi, we don't have to connect the machloikis of Rav and Shmuel to the machloikis of Meir and Rebbe Elazar of Edom Asirikarti and Edom Chasimikarti. The Kul Alma, both Rav and Shmuel could hold like Rebbe Elazar the Edom Asirikarti. What is the machloikis of Rav and Shmuel? Rav holds that when we have this type of situation, we don't know what to do. Chalukah Adifa, the best thing to do is to divide it. At least the real owner will get 50%. V'shmul sova, shuda de dine Adifa. He holds that shuda de dine is better. What is the machloikis of Rav and Shmuel? So it's a logical machloikis. Rav holds, if we divide it, at least the true owner will get 50% what's deserving to him. Yes, he's not going to get the 100% of what's deserving to him, but he should at least get 50%. Whereas Shmuel holds that if we're going to do chalukah, there's going to be a person that's losing 50% of what he deserves. There's going to be a person that's going to get 50% that he doesn't deserve. If we're going to do shuda the dinah, we may indeed end up with the right decision. And the person who's supposed to get 100% will indeed get 100%. And the person who's supposed to get nothing will indeed get nothing. And that's why that's a better solution. Ask the Gemara, is it make sense to say the Rav follows the opinion of Rebbe Elazar? The halacha is like Rebbe Elazar in Gittin, that we say by get Edom Asirikarti, and says the Gemara, Kamrei to Kamei to Shmuel, when I said this halacha to Shmuel, Omar, he said, Apishtaris, that by all shtaris, the halacha is like Rebbe Elazar. Michlal, the fact that Shmuel made this comment to Rav, the Rav himself holds Bishtaris Loi, that by shtaris, he doesn't agree with the opinion of Rebbe Elazar. El Machvarta, we have to say, like we said originally, the Rav bases his opinion on Rameya, on Edi Chasimakarti, v'Shmuel Kerbe Lazar. Meisvei asked the Gemara on Shmuel that says, when we have these two shtaris, we do Shuda the Daini. Asked the Gemara, it says in a Braisa, Shnei shtaris, Hayotzim B'yem Echad. This Braisa clearly indicates that Cholkim, that we divide it, like Rav said. Isn't this clearly, Tiyufta the Shmuel, a refutation of the opinion of Shmuel? Answers the Gemara Amalach Shmuel, Hamani. This price is going to reflect the opinion of Rameya, who holds Edech Simakarti. And as we said, Rav, Rameyer, who holds Edech Simakarti, hold Cholkim. But I, says Shmuel, hold like Rebbe Elazar. And that's why the halacha is that we do Shmuda the Dining. Ask the Gemara, E Rameyer, if you're suggesting that we're explaining that Braisa follows the opinion of Rameya, Ema Seifa, let's continue learning the Braisa, Kos of Lechet. If somebody wrote a shtar that he's selling a piece of property to a specific individual, and then he wrote another shtar, Umas Lachar, and he gave it to a different individual first, Zeshe Masul Ekana, The one who got the shtar first, even though the first shtar, the other person's his shtar was written first, we don't follow the writing of the shtar and the signing of the shtar. We follow the mesiras hashtar. But ask the Gemara if we're suggesting that b'risa is following the opinion of Rav Meir. So why is the one who got the shtar first the winner? Ha'amar, Rav Meir's opinion is the chsimakarti, and we're saying that this b'risa follows the opinion of Rav Meir. Says the Gemara, Tanaihi. This question, when we have this situation where we don't know who should win the Din Torah, if we should do Yachloiku or we should do Shudu the Dainai, is actually different Machloikus. Cham Aimri Yachloiku, that in this case where we have a situation where somebody told the Shliach, take this money to this individual. And by the time he got to this individual, the person was dead. And we don't know what did the sender mean. Did the sender mean that the moment he sent the shliach, he wants that person to be the recipient of the money? He made him the shliach, the shliach for the recipient? Or did he only mean that it should become the recipient when he actually receives it and he wasn't alive to receive it? Chum says, since we don't know, Yachloiku, we should do a Yachloiku. The Kanamru, Mashiyirta, Shlishyasa, but above all, they said it's up to the Shudu, the diner should decide what to do. Says the Gemara, Ima the Rabbi Bacham Kastinel and Nechsa, she wrote over her assets, Rabbi Bacham Vitzafra. In the morning, she wrote her assets over to Rabbi Bacham. Lurta, in the evening, Kastinel and Marukva Bacham, she wrote them to Marukva. And we don't know which shtar was given over first. He came to Rav Sheshes with a shayla, and he said that Rav Bechama should get those assets. Then she went to Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman said he should keep the assets. So Rav Sheshes asked Rav Nachman, "My tama oven mar hachi." Why did you say that Marukva should keep those? Why did you say Marukva should keep those assets? Amalei, so he asked. So Rav Nachman asked Rav Sheshes, "Or my time of in Marhochi, and why do you feel that Rabbi Bachama should get the assets?" Amalei, so Rav Sheshes answered, "I did it for a very simple reason. The Kadim, his shtar was written first, and first come, first serve. And obviously Rashi says." That he was saying that I agree with Rav Meir that Eide Chesima Karti, and therefore the first star is the winner. Amalei, so Rav Nachman said to Rav Sheshes, Otab Yushlaim Yasvinin, do we live in Yushlaim, the Kasvinin Shos, that as we discussed in our previous year, in Yushlaim, they didn't just write the date of the star, in Yushlaim, they also wrote the hour. So there, whichever shtar was written first in the same day, it was written the shtar when that shtar was written. Since it was written early, what time it was written, so the first shtar is the primary shtar. And of course the Rishonim say, it's not connected to Yerushalayim. It's connected, is this a place where they put a time into the shtar, or is this a place where they don't put a time into the shtar? Why did you do this to give the property to Marukva? Even if you're gonna say that we don't follow the time and the star, and they both have the exact same date, you still haven't explained why do you feel that Marukva, who was the second star written, should win this Din Torah. Amalei, Shudu the Dinah. I based it on Shudu the Dinah, and both Pshatim that we learned in Shudu the Dinah make sense. Either because I felt that that's really what the mother wanted, or Pshat is that I, with the authority of Bezdin, have a right to say Shudu the Dinah. Amalei, so Rav Shesha said, oh, we're relying on Shudu the Dinah, and not Shamed, and not Nami Shudu the Dinah. I'm also relying, and that's why I pass Kishanah the Dinah. Amalei, so Rav Nachman said to him, Chada the Nod Dayana, I was appointed to be the Dayan, by Resh Galusa. Ma'ar lav dayana. You weren't appointed by the Resh Galusa to be the dayan. So the Achronim say that now, and Rabbeinu Chananel makes this point, now the Pshat of Tosfos makes much more sense. Because what was Tosfos Pshat in Shuda Daina? Tosfos said that Shuda Daina means that Beis Din has authority. So Beis Din, and it's based on the concept that we often discuss in Shas, of Hefka Beis Din Hefka. And therefore, said Rav Nachman, I who was officially appointed to be a Dayan, have the authority of Hefka Beis Din Hefka, and have the authority to make the decision. You weren't. And therefore, since you weren't, you don't have that authority. So how will Rashi defend his pshat? Isn't this pshat very much showing that Tosfos pshat is right? So I saw that the Rishonim explained, to defend Rashi, they explained that Rav Nachman was saying, since I was appointed by the Resh Galusa to be the Dayan, so I have much more experience in Dinei Torah. Since I have so much more experience than Tyrus and Dinei Torah, I'm able to make a better determination who should win the Dinei Torah. Chada da no dayana ma lav dayana, and oi mikar lav b'Tyrus hachas sislei. You didn't say shuda the dayana. You wanted to say because the star came first. So maybe you do have the ability to make shuda the dayana. But you weren't using that authority in this case. So if you weren't using that authority in this case, you can't all of a sudden say that was the basis of your psak. Says the Mahani Tresh, to Ari, the Kosovo, the Kamer of Yosef. There were two stars that came to Rav Yosef. Chad have a Kosovo, Becham Shabbat Nissen. One said a date of 5 days in Nissen. For Chad have a Kosovo, Benissen Stama, without a date. Amr Ukmer of Yosef, who Becham Shabbat Nissen in the Kosovo. And there were limited assets. And the one that had the shtar with 5 days in Nissan got first choice. Because we know for sure that his shtar was 5 days in Nissan. We don't know what date in Nissan was the other shtar. It might have been a later date. Amma idach v'ana efsit. Should I lose? Amma, like, at yodah ha-tachtonai. You have the weaker hand in this than Torah. Because Ema, since there is no date on the shtar, I have to be concerned by Esther Matisha ben Nissan at that the shtar was written on 29 days in Nissan. Amalei, so he asked him, so nechtem li terfa, give me a right to collect. Right, we'll look at worst case scenario. And worst case scenario is that this shtar was written not any day before 29 days in Nissan. So I have no right to collect from anybody who bought property from this individual before 29 days in Nissan. But at least anybody who bought property from Rosh Chodesh Iyar the next day, I should have a right to collect. Amalei, no. The person who you're going to come to collect from is going to say, your shtar doesn't have a date. And your shtar maybe wasn't written on 29 days in Nissan. It was written in Rosh Chodesh Nissan. Yoch lemelech at bar chad Nissanat, and you should go to people who bought property not after, who bought property from Rosh Chodesh Iyar. And therefore, you from Rosh Chodesh Nissan. So says the Gemara, he'll be bounced around. My takante, says the Gemara, these two people, nichter hashol adadi. The one who has a shtar, which is written in Heber Nissan, should write a letter of hashol that he could collect on his behalf. And therefore, he'd be able to collect no matter what. If his date is after Hey Nissan, he got permission from the person that comes before him that he could go first. And if they'll say that you're later, so he's later. And therefore, by writing this Hashaw, he'll be able to at least collect from somebody, from anybody, from the Chosim Shabbatim after Hey Nissan.